You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron with your hosts, Brian Kilby, J.D. Church, Rob Springer, John DeLuna, Lady Rick, Bweebum, featuring XV.
Except we aren't featuring XV because he's not here. But I'm here. Welcome, Radio Free Cybertron. That is what we are doing tonight. Tonight I'm joined by John DeLuna, Peter Van Ender, and Rob Springer.
Hey,
Rob Springer.
Wow.
Yes. So I get the chance to host, and Rob Springer's here. It's amazing.
Not pre-recorded in some half-awake condition either.
No, but you are on drugs, correct?
I am on hydrocone.
Sweet. He's like a full three-quarters awake.
Yeah, that's the good stuff, too. That's the kind of stuff I had as well. So.
Nice.
Solid.
They say, we rebuild your leg, you're not going to feel nothing for a year.
We have the technology. We can rebuild him.
Oh, yes.
So, yeah. So, Brian's out. Brian's got internet's problems. So, you're stuck with me. Mm. What can I tell you?
It's a ploy.
It is. It was basically a con to get out of doing the show tonight. Not really. He wanted to be here, but he's not. So you're stuck with me, kids. Anyway, so let's do a show. Lots of news, so we're just going to go right to that bit. New York Comic Con was this past weekend. Lots of stuff happened. Hooray. Peter, what happened? Because you probably have your thumb on this. do you want to give us a rundown?
So the new Transformers Prime line hasn't even come out yet. They decided to tease next year's Wave 1.
Nice.
So, you know, it's
true as a tease.
So the Wave 1 for 2012, you'll get some nice deluxes, which include Wheeljack, Soundwave, and Cliffjumper.
Just in time for...
So a one-off character, a dead character, and a character that doesn't say anything. Awesome.
Well, we'll get to that.
After the show is not, like, in its season. There was something that occurred to me the other day. It was at Toys R Us, and there's, like, the Thundercats. My kids have been watching that. They're into that. They actually like the old ones better, apparently. But I'm sitting there thinking, you know, it is apparently humanly possible to put the toys from your show on the shelves while your show is actually on TV. This apparently can be done.
Yeah.
Andrew, you're getting ahead of yourself.
Well, the thing is, it ties back. I mean, like, you know, I think about all the horrors of the movie releases and the two early street dates, the screwed up street dates. This year, I was like, yeah, screw it, I'm waiting. I can get that stuff whenever. I came out and like a day after. What do I find for the Dark of the Moon release date? I find the Dark of the Shelves. apart from some Revenge of the Peg Warmers.
Yeah. Thundercats has the benefit of Walmart not caring what comes out at what time. Yeah. Like what? Well, that's not a movie.
I thought it was awesome how, like, either Walmart, like, put it out, like, 2 weeks early for Revenge of the Fallen, or they had a date on the back for a bunch of boxes, and the date rolls by, and they're like, yeah, whatever. We'll go out with the next truck.
I'm definitely glad I didn't have that argument with the past two movies of going, what do you mean I can't buy this? You stock the shelves. It's recalled. No, it's not. You retard. It's on the shelves.
It's like, if that's safety recalled, I would like you to burn it in my presence.
5 minutes in the show, we already have an F-bomb. Sorry, Brian.
Medication. I get an excuse.
Okay, there it is. Right. He gets a pass.
Yes.
So, okay. So we've got things that... Okay, so we've got that.
So we got those deluxes. And then we got some stuff that Rob will like, which is Cyberverse toys.
Woohoo!
Legion Wave 1, which is their, you know, their scouts. You get the usual, the Viacon, the Ratchet, the RC, the Bumblebee, and the Cliff Jumper. And for the Commander section, which is the, what is that, the, I'm sorry, Legion was Legend, and
yeah,
Commander
Legion's
is
right.
Scout. And Optimus Prime gets a new chest in this version, so the ones that didn't like the chest before gets a new chest, so yay for them. Bulkhead, Megatron, Starscream, and oddly enough, a Starhammer with Wheeljack.
What?
Starjammer? Starjammer?
Starhammer? Is that his ship? Is that the ship thing? That's the ship thing we've been seeing.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
that's
oddly enough,
the remold.
I don't know why Starhammer is first in the naming convention of this thing, but, you know.
Well, because that's, that's the playset thing, so.
Yeah.
Those
Cyberverse.
Well, they interact
awesome.
With figures, like light ups, don't they?
Yes, they will. As far as I don't know if the Wheeljack will light up, but the Megatron, all the commanders will. They will have some sort of light up gimmick.
Wow,
that's cool and sucky for two reasons. One, hey, cool, a play value, neato. The sucky part, translucent plastic doesn't go well after 15 years.
Yeah. You won't have that, you know. That
yeah, the chest
Hasbro
is
still keeping in mind that most of the people will not still be actually playing with these toys in 15 years.
Yeah, most of them will
be. In all
I'm
honesty,
figuring trash bags don't go too badly with toys. They go pretty badly with toys after 15 years.
They're like, you guys with basements full of toys. How many are there? You, yeah, losers. Okay, keep making toys.
Just keep pushing that out.
And that Cliff Jumper, I gotta say, I've just determined like clearly that character was designed by the interns. It was just like, he's only going to be in one show, but he's a main character, so he has to have a unique design, and God, we don't want to pour $10,000 into that. Larry, we got something for you to do. You're going to have to work 700 hours on this.
Cliff Jumper should be happy, though, because, hey, at least he's not a repaint of Bumblebee, so.
That, and you got
something
to say.
Lives up to his name and only survives one episode.
Three different Cliff Jumpers coming out. That aren't a repaint of Bumblebee at one
different
time.
Different levels of life.
As, and like,
it's proving why there never should be again.
And I was just watching that first episode of Prime right before I was doing this show, and realizing that, you know, Cliff Jumper, he barely made it past the first commercial break.
Exactly.
In the first episode.
And the way he was written, I was glad.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Thank you, Starscream.
Yeah. But it's like, wow, all this stuff for a character that totally only lived like 10 minutes. Awesome.
Well, it makes, it's kind of a reversal. Well, not a reversal, sort of like what they did with Drew Barrymore in the first Scream. They're like, starring Drew Barrymore. She's dead in the first thing. Haha, gotcha.
That's like, well, you know, exactly.
Yeah,
like one of my favorite Steven Seagal movies is Executive Decision.
Yeah.
Because he had the decency to die in like the first 20 minutes of the film.
Use a big name to draw you in, but, you know, here's The Rock. Oh, dude, The Rock, really? Yeah, I loved him in Scorpion King. And then they're like, okay, we're just kidding. You don't have to put up with the guy.
Right. Okay, so
RC is constantly bemoaning Cliff Jumper, but the rest of the cast is like clearly didn't like him that much.
Yeah, they didn't care. They hardly
Prime
ever
is,
mentioned him.
Yeah.
They're like,
Prime is
Cliff who?
Like, you know, talk about that a lot.
I'm pretty sure the rest of the cast is like, all right. Everyone else, let's behave. She might jump into some danger, too, and we'll be rid of all the headaches in this group.
No, she's a black hammer. She just keeps killing off her partner. So, Okay, so then there was the Prime panel then for season 2?
Yep. So there's most of the stuff was just retread. But they did promise that more people will die in season 2
Miko?
Other than The Rock in 20 minutes.
Miko?
All the kids. Well, in a multi-episode, we'll get to that. In a multi-episode,
there goes Booker T.
Bumblebee will get his own like spotlight to show how he lost his voice.
How about we get a spotlight to show he gets his voice back so he can stop being a lame R2-D2 wannabe?
Oh.
They're explaining why he got his voice, why he lost his voice, and why they haven't fixed
it. I'm so sick of them explaining why they suck. Can they like have shows where they explain why things are going to be cooler now?
I don't care why it's crap. What I care about is why it isn't good.
I don't care. I mean, like, dude, Bumblebee could, like, in the middle of one episode, just, like, hack up a ham bone. like an inexplicably Transformers-sized ham bone. I'd be like, oh, that is so much better, guy.
Oh, okay, I'm
and
good.
I'd just be all fine. Right. I'm like, yeah. Don't you need that explained? No.
Well, what's going to be great, though, is if I pull and go, why does he not talk? And they'll just sort of rewind to 1984, because look what he says.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know. That's
So let's see what else. Kids?
Not like he was screwed.
So, yeah. Somebody asked why Miko was hella stupid. I don't think that's quote unquote hella stupid, but that's what I wrote it as because she's hella stupid. And the creators, they don't think that she is dumb and she's always seeking adventure because her heart tells her to, which overrides common sense. And apparently she makes mistakes, but she learns from them. Really? That's not true.
Actually, the more she does are actually like totally out of character. When she's like properly in an episode, like it's actually okay for the most part. It's when they're like going to have like, we need something dumb to happen here. Oh, I know. We'll have Miko do it. It's just like, you know, the stupid like light pops on above her head. And she's like, I'll jump into a space bridge into battle. You're like, that's not like stupid. That's like some kind of like borderline like suicidal disorder.
You know, what kind of stops? She's like,
what?
The creators obviously have a parent eyes on. We're like, what do you mean my kid's a douchebag? Nah, kid's great.
Yes.
Like, your kid's
my kid would never.
Nah. So, the network wants to have a female character, so we made one. And we think she's pretty cool, right? Right? No.
Well, the whole thing's
don't
like
talk about
bad.
My daughter.
It's this half-assed rehash of animated with a bunch of like movie elements thrown in. When you think about the cast, like all they swapped out Prowl for RC. It's still a motorcycle, just kind of like doing the same job. And they're like, so our human cast, like they sat down and like had their committee meeting about that. And we're like, we need to represent every type of people on Earth and who's ever been in the show. So we need, you know, we have to have a girl. We have to have a nerd. And then we have to have like the everyman, every kid, boring as, you know, pulp character.
Yeah.
Who we keep talking about like he's interesting, but he never does anything.
Thing is with Jack is it's like, you know, it's like, wow, this guy's a total wuss. But then you start saying, this is the only human character to have a shred of common sense in the history of this show. Holy crap, there's explosions, guys. We really don't need to go there.
Yeah, exactly.
They all want to run. It's like, hey, Miko's running. Do we have... Crap! I just want
to
stay behind.
But he doesn't have enough common sense to leave.
He tried, but then he came back. He left once, and then he came back, and then I lost all hope for him.
Yeah,
so
the show needs some Carlos and Fred action, and it's what it needs.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So Tony Todd apparently is also possibly going to be in as Dreadwing.
He will be.
Okay,
he
is. That's not possible. Dreadwing. And he's going to have a compelling compelling character arc.
Tony,
that would be an interesting change.
Is that relative?
Yeah, I know.
Right.
It's like his only compelling character in history of mankind has been Candyman. The title character is in the movie for 20 minutes. So, but he's got a great voice.
Is that like normal human compelling or like Ortsy and Kurtzman compelling?
That's a good question.
I hope he's compelling in the way that he lasts more than an episode, because this whole killing off obscure characters is getting a bit old, you know?
Yeah. Having Wheeljack leave in like one episode just seemed like a waste of the character model.
Yeah, that's the whole thing, because they did. They had to spend the money to make the character model. They're not using it for anything else.
Two episodes popping up at the end, something. It was like, okay. Well, this shit, trying to sell the toy is one thing, but like they've poured a lot of money into the CGI. Every character that's unique takes a lot of time and dough. And it's just like to pop up and then just have them be like, all right, I'm bored, I'm out, and just like not
yeah, cool. Well, you guys enjoy your little party here. I gotta go do a thing.
It's not like we're an army or anything and you're the supreme commander. I'm just gonna like take off.
Right. I mean, I'm sure he'll come back. Shift. You know, I mean,
yeah, didn't they say he was
stereotypically cool ninja who comes in and out as we need him.
He's too cool to
Yeah, oh, it's cool to not care,
right?
But maybe like once every 6 months, I just kind of show up and do something.
You know, if he comes back to like,
okay,
like
we'll
he shows up and like, oh, he knows how to fix something.
War between good and evil without you.
Yeah. I'll see you in the fall.
So how much credit are we giving to this like Nathan Fillion rumor that he's actually going to be on?
Probably too much.
Well, they said it at the panel, so
there is a racket.
There is already, you know, Gina Torres is already on there, so maybe she'll just be like,
yeah, and I mean,
I think he'd make an awesome hot rod.
There's a lot of he would actually. There's a lot of Firefly like alum on this.
Well, you know,
he could sing. It would be great.
Even though I should probably get the hire in the mail just by nature, he'd probably make a good Springer, because Springer is basically Han Solo, and the captain from Firefly, I forget his name, forgive me, was kind of Han Solo-ish, wasn't he?
Oh, he was totally Han Solo.
Yeah, pretty much what they're going for. They're like, look, these people will just not let this show die. Let's hire another guy from it. Yeah, let's get another guy from it.
The whole Firefly show came from, I think Joss Whedon said something like, I was reading about the Civil War, and it made me think of the Millennium Falcon, because everything really makes me think of the Millennium Falcon. So that was what I based it on.
That works.
Yeah.
Why not?
Let's see.
Apparently Jane is saying all the things Chewie was. We just couldn't hear him. Throw the blonde one in the airlock.
Nope, better idea. Since this is a modern interpretation, let's get some Kurt Russell as like Snake Piskin style Springer.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I feel like I own the character in some way, so you know, maybe they'll listen.
So we can get all those exclusive now, I guess, ish at Hasbro Toy Shop,
and no server lag, so
really?
Nobody wants them. So you will not have an issue.
Yeah,
so yeah,
Black market sellers have calmed down, so you can buy one.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody... The thing, they put that Bumblebee figure, which is okay, with that really terrible RC figure.
Yeah.
So...
I love how, like, blue RC looks like, you know, a robot girl in robot armor. And, like, pink RC, for some reason, looks like a robot girl in a bikini.
Yeah, it looks like... Well, it's a mess. It's just a mess.
Yeah, it's like paint. Yeah. And I really refuse to buy any toy with any Jack toy. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. A, the character. Really, and B, I think his head might collapse my entire toy collection into a singularity.
I'd like to have this set. I just don't want to spend $30 for $10 toys. I mean,
yeah.
Optimus was fine for $20 because I bought him for the package. And that's the only reason I wanted it. It's like, man, I'm going to get this toy here in December. But I really like this package. This package is like, man, Bumblebee as a taxi cab looks awesome. $30?
Well, with the swath of like awesome, like not awesome, but very good play characters, like characters you could play with the toys with, and the human cast from animated that they made none of the villains, no sorry as a robot, nothing, and just not doing any of those to like have these lame ass like why are you here characters get made. It's just like now awesome. Now I can stand them next to my Transformers and go, why are you here?
That doesn't bother me, because then I'd be like, man, why isn't everything Beast Wars? And you know, I'd be like over a decade of bitching about that at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why isn't Rat
Trap
in this?
Beast Wars had more compelling human characters.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least Avert. Nice. Yeah. And there's a character, at least a characterization that would be nice to have.
At least when Dinobot jumped off those cliff, you felt like he was saving somebody. Like, just let them step on Miko and go home. Dinobot would have been up on that cliff looking at 100 Mikos going like, I don't think so.
So right now, of course, everybody is excited about Arkham City. But there is another game that will be coming out eventually. Fall of Cybertron. And there's a trailer, I guess, out for that now. Mm-hmm. With
you are correct, sir.
I haven't seen this trailer, actually, so...
teaser, right?
It's fun.
Yeah, it's like a 20-second teaser trailer.
Like, there's my sword. Oh, okay. I wet my pants.
This game is like the sole reason I was like, finally, like, oh wait, I remember now. I like the Transformers.
And this is actually
coming out. I completely forgot. Sometimes they don't suck. It's amazing.
Coincidentally, Fall of Cybertron is coming out in fall of next year. So.
Ha ha ha. Wow. That's like somebody planned that.
I am beyond excited about this game. I read the article in GI, and I'm just like,
you know, I'd like to get the aim. I just hope it doesn't get ruined for me before then, like War for Cybertron. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to wait a month.
No, it's going to
let the hype die down a little.
There'll be plenty of hype for it. But you know what? It deserves it. I'm sorry.
The hype is already happening.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like,
well,
every
These games
other
are
story.
Awesome. They took all the stuff that I was saying, like the movies, like, yeah, they're Transformers, but you took everything dumb about them and made it like 75 feet tall. Whereas this like took everything cool about them and actually used it. Oh, wow.
Good graphics on Sell Me Alone. I was like, oh, cool. It looks like a good game. Yeah, it's like, okay, Shockwave. Okay. It's like every 5 minutes. Okay. Oh, I get to use a controller to play the game. Okay. You know what? I'm going to let people forget about it before I even bother with it, because I'm no matter what tweet, man, this game's good. It's going to be like an army of we told you so instead of yeah. I don't know. Hmm. It kind of, hype tends to be retroactive on me for some reason. I was like, oh man, Halo 2, man, I don't care anymore.
I it's a shame it's so far off, but I would listen to something nice about this game every day.
I'm
for it.
I'm sure that...
like, make my millennium.
Let's you see.
For every 5 minutes for the next year.
That's fine.
So, Grimlock,
like every, you know, 2 minutes of every level. Just keep telling me.
So, write down a few of the notes for that.
Lost time for you, Ender.
Gameplay is supposed to be simplified. Co-op is gone. Grimlock is not dumb, and Jazz is playable with a grappling hook.
Huh.
And Grimlock is a T-Rex on Cybertron.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
No, it's well, in an interview. As I've said over and over and over again, nothing makes sense about Grimlock in any metal form. The point of Grimlock is that he's awesome because he's a giant metal T-Rex, and the onus is on the writer to come up with a decent reason for him to be one. And I think they already said what it is, and it's fine. It's like, why is he a T-Rex? Because that's cool. It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's why he's a T-Rex. That's why he was a T-Rex in 1984. Like, the reason in the Sunbow show for him to be a T-Rex made any goddamn sense.
You know,
it's people like, why is he a T-Rex? Why is he a T-Rex? What do you, like, why are there Dinobots? It's the dumbest, you mean, like, because it's awesome. Okay? Do you not want the awesome? We can take the awesome back.
It's one of those things where common sense would answer all things like, yeah, no problem with Trypticon, right? Right? Yeah, well, there's
It was like they interviewed
10 minutes ago.
Yeah,
they interviewed Matt Teasure, and he was like, "So a lot of people are probably wondering why he is a T-Rex, but seriously, they're going to be in space in various parts. So space T-Rex, who doesn't want to play as a space
T-Rex? Right, exactly. He gets it. That guy's awesome. He gets it. I've talked to that guy a couple of times, and those guys like really understand the Transformers, like in a way, like I'm always talking about how Bay and even the people who make Prime like don't seem to like really get the whole deal. Like they're really into it and really looking for the cool parts. That's one of those things. It's like, because a giant space T-Rex is awesome. Why do they have fingers? Like, you know, you have to know when to ask why and when not to. The thing when causality may cause problems in things like this is like when you don't follow your own rules in your story. Then things look dumb. But if you could, you know, the whole deal is like they're big transforming robots from space. That doesn't mean you don't have to like have a beginning, middle, and end to your script. But it, you know, in terms of like using those things, it's like they're there because that's, you know, that's what Grimlock is. You want to play as Grimlock? Okay. Why would we make him a tank for no reason? For like,
yeah, when there's plenty of tanks, you know. Right. There's only one T-Rex. There's plenty of tanks. Yeah.
And frankly, these games have been so awesome. I'm very much like, oh, screw other, meeting other continuity. The next game could be springtime for Megatron, for all I care.
You know, the thing is, you can just stop and say, when people say, why is there a T-Rex on outer space? And you stop and go, why are there living robots from outer space?
Yeah, exactly.
Why do they have five fingers and two eyes for the most part?
Why did they pick disguises that would not blend in on a suburban road? Oh, man, who was that expensive car that's not available? It just drove by. With his name printed on the side.
Well, in the games that I'm more excited about, because I like MMOs, Transformers Universe.
Yes.
There is a deal on Facebook where you can go and vote on the name of their next class. So that's fun.
Guys, we're making the ass pirates canon.
Barrel.
They reserve the right that they reserve the right so you can't. You know.
Yeah, like do you like a barrel roll class or something?
It's not a so they co-bear proof themselves.
Oh, that's good.
I'm pretty sure Night Train will slip past, guys. I mean, Nexus Maxims.
Yeah, so I gotta say, I view MMOs largely as like I stand at the precipice of a, like, a cliff, you know, the edge of a cliff. Just like, that looks really cool, but I don't think I'm going to get back up here afterwards.
No, no, it's, yeah, it's one of those deals where it's a very hard climb to get out of. I'm actually not currently playing an MMO, which is amazing.
I keep like, wow, that looks awesome. I'd never eat again.
I'm pretty interested in it, but I'm honestly not sure if I'd play it more than once. It's just, for me, it's like, man, there is a freaking ton of possibility with something like this, and I'm just kind of curious for the good, bad, and in-between that's going to happen as a result.
I'm interested in unleashing a largely virgin fanboy population on a game which you can make a female avatar.
Stop and remember the mushing.
We all just sit there and, like, big, giant tank robots yelling at each other.
Remember the comedy that came from mush players on ATT. Now stop and remember. Now we've just opened this up to a casual audience.
Yeah.
There's someone going to fight over exactly how much Soundwave and Megatron cuddles, and it's now canon in some kind of twisted way.
I'm excited.
Think about the possibility.
This is going to be a lot of fun.
Canon. I'm so sick of hearing canon. I'm sorry, there's like the two types of cannons, right? There's the cannon you shoot things out of, and then there's like, especially like the canon of your story universe. For some reason, Transformers merely seems to have like come up with the kind of canon you shoot holes in your story with.
Oh, we're going to... No, Ender, we're going
to
be talking...
Wait, that's not canon.
We're going
to
talk about part
now.
Three of One Shall Rise in a minute. We're not talking about that right now. So
okay,
we're gonna...
well,
yeah, because we'll get all into canon here
I'll
in just
hold
a little
out
bit.
For that,
yeah, because that's when it's going to get fun. So, let's see. So, God, I don't even know how much I want to dig into this. So, the rumor mill is now aflame about a possible Transformers 4 and 5.
Yes!
Well, God, Hasbro's into it, but... Bay said he's definitely not doing it.
Yeah, Bay says he's not doing. I mean, it was like 2 days ago or so. We had the same freaking rumor we had like a year ago, which is this Jason Statham. You know,
well, it's like, gee, I wonder why it's the same rumor.
Huh?
Muck have reread some old thing and not noticed, and then it put it back around like it was new.
That's kind of my take on that.
Thanks,
so,
variety.
It's pretty much going to take. It's like, is Transformer 4 going to happen? Yeah, give Don Murphy and the crew time enough to find a new production crew.
Right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you know why? They did this to make money. Is it going to be Bay? No, and clap hands, because it might be what you wanted the first one to be.
I do love this part where Michael Bay has called Brian Goldner a liar, which is awesome.
He's like, no, it's not happening. So, Brian Goldner's like, yeah, pretty much. You know what?
Finally, he gave
me a plastic trophy.
I love Michael Bay because...
he gave me a plastic trophy.
It's totally football jock hanging out with all the losers.
I know.
Yeah.
What have you been doing? This is like, thank God, finally Michael Bay does something for the fans.
Yeah.
Goes like, home.
I'm going to do the best thing I can for you. Leave.
Go home.
I just love that. And I'm actually kind of going to miss that. Our mustache twisting douchebag villains leaving, and we gotta get a new one because it's been like, you're like, well, Michael Bay, we said we want to be this, whatever, nerds. The car looks cool.
Yeah,
that's this whole excuse. There's like, well, we made Bumblebee a Camaro. Why? Because they're bitching. I just snorted cocaine off.
I'm sorry. I don't think there's no like mustache twisting dude to me. It's more just like a guy who's sitting there making a sci-fi dork movie. But it's sitting there going, hey, guys, man, look at it. His boobs in slow-mo.
Exactly. Like, yeah. This is like, everyone says, what if Beavis and Butthead made a movie? He made three, and it's hilarious when you stop and think about how much money he pissed out when he's like, guys, I got a cherry bomb and a can of Pringles. Let's throw it up off his ass.
Well, I think it's more of, in some ways, it's kind of like, okay, Michael, there's this Transformers thing, and we want to put all this stuff in it. And Michael's like, that's great. I'm going to make a movie that people want to see, so why don't you guys go over there, and I'm going to do this, and make millions of dollars.
He could have made that about anything. These could have been movies, and they'd have been the exact same deal.
Oh, God, like, yes. That is so true.
They could have called that Voltron, and like he just would have done the same thing with it.
Change the models, change the names, make Starscream Leader 1, and, you know, just switch it around a little bit. Yeah, call it GoBots, and people would have been like, oh my God, I remember GoBots. They were so freaking amazing. And
this is the guy who started shooting Revenge of the Fallen without a script because he didn't want to get behind schedule. He was just shooting stuff.
That is true.
Sitting there going, hey, I got an idea. We're going to go over there. I mean, the robot's going to, like, pull a little thing off its groin area and pee on one of them.
And there'll be testicles. There'll be robot testicles. Michael, it'll be amazing.
Michael, we did that in the last – we had some a robot pee on someone in the last movie, and he looked at them, like, incredulously and went, not on a monkey.
Stop and realize for a second. What kind of adventures did you have with your toys when you were eight? Michael Bay really brought them to life, and now they're going to hump.
I'm going to miss Michael Bay.
Yeah, I love the fact that he gets an award, and instead of being nice, he's like, hey, thanks, nerds. This thing's plastic, pff, losers.
That's awesome. Hey, you got to admit, though, what? The dude made...
other Michael Bay movies. I'm hoping he'll go and make movies I actually do like. There's actually some chance of that happening.
The dude made tons of bank for Hasbro, and they gave him a plastic trophy. I mean, you know. That is, I think, a legit gripe. I think if I generated three films that generated an ungodly amount of money for a toy company,
like you didn't get a crap ton of money for making them.
But still, if you're going to give me an award in front of a bunch
it's
of
legit,
ner- if I'm going to
not on stage,
if
it's
I'm
a
gonna,
toy
like,
company, they make plastic crap. Come on,
he could have pulled Brian Goldner to the side, like, you cheap son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, he'd have to say it, like, on the
front. Well, at this point, though, and I think that's the deal, is I think Michael...
I really want one of those trophies, too, because it's a prime. That, like, totally, like, screws me.
I think you
I feel like be the biggest douchebag in the history of Transformers.
Hey, I bet if you...
Hall of Fame.
I bet if you go dig through Michael Bay's dumpster today, you will find that thing. It will be...
No, dude.
But I want to go through Michael Bay's dumpster. All I got to do is go to the video store.
Yeah,
he set it on fire filming extras for another movie. He's like, "What movie are you working on, Bay? Nope, just blowing up stuff for a third reel in case I need it."
I don't know. I'm just gonna blow stuff up, and then we'll eventually put a title on it and call it a movie.
I still got about another reel of stuff from the island to use.
So at this point,
they were like, "Hey, Michael, it's not you can't set a metal trophy on fire."
Want a bet?
Watch while I line it up with C4.
Yeah.
I've seen steel catch on fire from rock at work. I'm pretty sure he could figure out metal with a match. Like, oh, yeah, watch this shit.
So we would
clearly
talk about...
you don't own a plasma torch and a monkey.
So at this
that
point,
Anthony
we would...
Anderson
normally...
and a laser gun. Get out of my way.
At this point, we would normally talk about comics, but Amy's not here, and I didn't get to read issue 28, so... We'll just say happy birthday to
I did read it.
Guido.
They sure could come out this week.
Josh Burkham. This was the Chaos story, right? So I'm not missing anything, right? Okay, good.
I read it.
Decepticlod.
Okay, it's just a big mess of lines and odd colors.
The dialogue's okay, and it just strikes me that, you know, essentially the whole reason that Decepticon has to be filled out with billions of extra sweeps is that otherwise it's basically like the Seekers doing like a human pyramid.
Oh.
And it's like, and now we will destroy Cybertron. It's like, oh, God.
Great.
This is kind of like the complete opposite of Michael Bay going into other things. Like, okay, here's the douchebag making one, and here's the nerd that listens to too much Metallica making stuff. All right, they're going to be called Decepticon.
Yeah, it's like, congratulations. You've taken everything that was actually, you know, somewhat cheesy about Unicron, combined it with everything that was over dramatic about the swarm and made it into one thing. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And then you said the guy who said,
so,
and then gave it a name as lame as, like, you know.
I don't mind the concept. I just don't like what they made with it. It's like, okay,
the concept is too dumb to make anything good with. It's one of those things that sounds okay, and then, like, you actually think about it for a second. It's like, oh, well, no, that would be really stupid.
I don't mind the idea of the sweeps merging to make some giant monster. I don't. But after that idea is where I'm like, okay, now really make this work instead of just going, dude, what if the sweeps made a big monster? Okay.
You know, but it's just like it could be a bunch of anything making a big monster. It could be a bunch of laptops that form a big monster. It could be a bunch of desks that form a big monster called, like, you know, Desk-a-God that's going to rampage across. It's like... It's a big mass of stuff that's decided to have a guy.
I think
head.
They're going to follow the sender.
Yes, okay.
So,
lighter, darkest hour yet again. Man, we have a lot of these dark hours.
I think this this is one that's going to be light our dumbest hour.
So also, don't forget to go to facebook.com/LadyWreck, fill out her petition. She was wanting, and others as well, are wanting art from an art book, basically from the War for Cybertron game. There's a ton of great concept art for that. So go fill out her petition. Hopefully get an art book. That would be sweet.
What a sequel they probably
they had. They had like just their walls just full of all these awesome pictures of like 1,000 different things.
We need a book of that.
It's just like, and I was like, that was the first thing that came out of my mouth. And they were like, really? You think people buy that? I'm like, if this is what it was, yeah. Like, come on, dude.
I'm going to try to keep this going on because apparently I'm running long on the show. I'm hosting. It always happens when I do that. So I guess we'll go into Transformers Prime. One Shall Rise, Part 3, or as I like to call it, Continuity in a Blender. I don't know. I mean, for a synopsis,
they show a bunch of backstory.
Yeah. So that's spoiler alert for all of you that have not seen this episode yet. They basically told us a bunch of stuff that happened. And then like the very anticlimactic end to Unicron.
It's like, all right, let's make an episode. What do we do? Okay, read a few chapters of Exodus. Okay, okay, okay. Well, they shoot shit. Okay, okay, okay. And it's over.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, if you watched the last episode, they essentially said, okay, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go out to the center of the Earth. We're gonna go find Unicron's core, and they didn't, they'd expressly say it, but it was very clear. And we're gonna open the Matrix, and it's gonna destroy him. And then they pretty much just went and did that.
Yeah.
Like, kind of no fuss, no muss, went in, shot at some stuff, and then they did that.
It was easy. It was like, it was like, cake. I was like, man.
Well, it was like stupid.
You know, I mean, you go back to, like, the end of, like, the end of Matrix Quest and stuff. Like, those Transformers had it rough, yo. Because, like, Megatron came to Cybertron and was breaking the planet and standing on the planet and, like, crushing people. Even the end of the 86 movie was, like, devastating. This was like earthquakes and the Autobots ran into the middle of Unicron. Yeah,
and lo, the Earth farted.
And then Unicron died. And it was done.
I am the mighty...
I have to say, I actually had higher hopes. Well, because, again...
Now know me as the Drama Llama!
Well, they do this whole deal where, like, Jack asks what, you know, about Optimus, and I don't know. Ratchet lets slip this, well, now that Optimus is working with Megatron again, why, what do you mean? Well, kids, let me tell you a story. And there's nothing more exciting.
This is the story of a game called War for Cybertron.
I'm thinking about this because there was actually a story I had read this week, which was, I guess, something that had come out, which was Mammoth's, like, memo to the writers of the unit. And, like, one of the points that he wrote in there was, like, if you're ever at a point when you're telling the story and you're having characters say things just to, like, exposition, you're doing it wrong. And that is basically exactly what happened in this episode. Again, which has happened several times in the series, where it's just like, well, kids, let me tell you a story. And so it's just this story of Orion Pax, Megatron. Basically, if you've read about or anything of, like, what was it, Spotlight Megatron and some of the, like, War Within and all of that stuff, it's basically that, sort of, you know.
The problem with this, well, one of them, the big problem with this is that, like, they set up a three-parter season ender to set up the season opener of the next season, as opposed to, okay, why are they fighting? An afterthought. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But that's it.
They set up the
Unicron.
Whole.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah.
They set up the whole, like, Orion Pax thing, and of course he's a clerk again, which is, you know, from the comic.
Their deal pretty much comes from, there was the, I read this in the comic, though, but I guess it was in the book, too. That's the origin story, basically, from War for Cybertron.
Yeah.
It's all just War for Cybertron.
Right.
Well, that's just it. This is the big, like, I think Aaron Archer-led push to have the, like, it's going to only be one continuity, which I think is, like,
yawn.
What franchise are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, it's like there are, and that's just that there's already flaws between the things that, like, make no sense. But they're trying to do that. This is the thing I worry about with the game. That's the one thing that's bothering me. is like this push to do that, infecting it in some way, because they seem to not be doing that at all. That's not their goal. It's, you know, they came up with something that was really cool and cohesive. So Archer like was like, oh yeah, we should do that for everything. And they're just like, okay. And now it's like, okay, so this is going to be the beginning of Transformers Prime. And like, I can just see somebody sitting around the High Moon with Matt Tigger going, Matt, does our story gel with that one at all? And Matt's just like, Mr. Archer seems to think so.
Yeah, and John and I were kind of talking about this before the show. The bad thing is, I think, for the franchise is that there had been for a while, because there had been a few different stories, there had been a sort of element of surprise where it's like you have the basic elements. You have good guys, Autobots, bad guys, Decepticons, leader Optimus, you know, leader Megatron. And those elements, those are the elements that sort of stay in place, but like how those pieces got into play was a little bit different. There was a little, you know, there was a way, it was like how that came to be was sort of interesting, because you didn't really, it's like, well, how did this Optimus come to be? Or how did that Megatron come to be?
Right.
It was always a little bit different, whether it was the comic or the show or whatever.
Well,
and
what
now it's like, that's it. So it's like, there's no surprise. It's like,
well,
you know,
it's not going to work. I don't think either. I think it's a really bad move, because Transformers sort of accidentally hit upon something that like only like soap operas and Doctor Who before it have managed to do, which is to make like, we have a theme and an idea that as long as we continue it, we can keep slapping this title on,
mm-hmm.
and we can do it however we want and make sure you don't get bored by, we can literally change every piece around these and make it anew. And that's really awesome to be able to do that. I think it's one of the things that really kept it going. It was a little, I mean, like even Beast Wars went with Generation One at first, but you know, the next year, you know, we were doing like completely different stuff and it was a little jarring, but now Transformers have really gotten to a place where you can just kind of, as long as you got the places and pieces in place, you can do whatever. But they like want to abandon that. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Because it's like the key to immortality for a media.
Yeah, they're basically trying to, they want it, everything to be, you know, this one piece. And that's why I said, it's like, I was even hoping for something interesting. Like, it's like, okay, well, they did this whole deal. The only thing that was, there was like a little subtle difference where like Prime actually went to Primus and got the Matrix. So it's like, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. Maybe Megatron's going to go to Unicron and get like the Dark Matrix. That would be interesting. And to kind of see that, no, we didn't even get that. It was just like Prime opened the Matrix and poof, Unicron's dead. Great.
Yeah, that just, yeah.
Wasn't that exciting? Wasn't that compelling?
And that's just, it's like, you know, as I recall, when you open the Matrix to kill Unicron, it blows the thing up.
Yeah.
As in, like, the Earth. Not just, like, I mean, how much lamer could it have been that it was just, like, you know, if, man, I gotta say, that spark, the way it went out, if Dark Energon is the blood of Unicron, that was, like, so the gas of Unicron.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It was just,
well, you know. There's the part where you're like, he's like, I've transcended form. It's like, okay, great. So now we don't have to worry about him being Earth anymore. He can reappear being something else. Good. Well, and then you're like, does that get rid of all the Dark Energon then? So what's the plot device for Megatron now?
It's like outside the planet, he's like stepping on them as a giant pile of rocks everywhere. And they get inside and he's like, I have transcended physical form. And it's like, so basically you can't hit us anymore.
Yep.
It's like, oh, yeah.
This is the point where I'm like, all right. He's gone.
Move, Obi-Wan.
Someone's going to say, let's write him again, and this time make him a threat other than a tornado and a rock monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will now bring the terrors of inclement weather to the galaxy.
So I don't know. But anyway, it was,
I am the El Nino bringer.
It was dull.
They've reduced Unicron to El Nino. That's what he is now.
Yeah. It was just not, I don't know, it wasn't, and now at the end, of course, Optimus has reverted to Orion Pax, which makes no sense.
Well, it explains that little promo movie they showed with the Decepticon symbol getting welded on his arm.
Oh, yay. Yeah, because that makes sense.
Well, it's like, it's going to be dumb. It's going to be like, oh, I'm confused. I don't know. Are we supposed to be doing this for like 17 episodes? And on the one hand, it's like, well, at least it's not something they've done before. Which I kind of thought jumping to Unicron in the first season was a little...
Yeah.
I love some Unicron, and I love it when
with
he uses them.
Decepticons over the Shark Tank.
He has to be sparingly, like, and you know, the first season, you're like, is the rest of the show going to be about him? No. Then what's the point?
No. Yep. So.
Yeah. Well. Anyway, it's one of those. It's like it's such an ending. That's the thing that bothers me with the Decepticon thing, even to bring that back up. The whole, all those things, it's always this like, we have to be gonna like, we're gonna destroy the entire universe, and it's the biggest thing ever. And like, people seem to want to do that, like when they're on their way out, especially in comics or at the end. It's just like the biggest story ever is the last. And right. If you want us to come back, you leave something for the next people to do.
Yeah, that would make sense, you know.
You know, that's one thing probably for the past decade has been a big gripe of mine with Transformers. They've transcended small problems. It's like every plot has to revolve around something giant instead of just, well, the spaceship's about to blow up, you know, or something that would probably work out a whole lot better with a cast of five. Instead of, okay, the whole Earth's going to blow up, there's four of us to do something about it.
Yeah.
And well, scene, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it just, you know, and that's just it. It's like, there has to be, like, some kind of sense of, like, scale of story and maintenance, because there's, like, you want to do more of these. And I always think it sucks when you have, and lots of things have this sort of inherent problem. I don't know why they do it in animation, but it's like, okay, we can't show the big epic war between good and evil, so we got to show, like, four people fighting one evil guy who's trying to bring back the big epic war between good and evil. You know what I mean? It's like, we're going to use the onus of this actually cool thing to give importance to this tiny little, like, you know, you have to return to the turnip to the secret garden story we're telling. And, you know, I don't know. They keep, you know, it reminds me of, like, the last few seasons of Doctor Who and have been kind of not as well received. And I think it's kind of like, well, every Dalek for five seasons was the last Dalek or the last Cyberman. And then every season was like, okay, we're going to destroy the Earth. Next season was we're going to destroy the universe. Then we were going to destroy all of reality. And now we're going to, after that, it was like, we're going to destroy all of time. And it was just like, all right, where do you go from there? Congratulations. Right. You've scaled up every year. What are you going to do now?
Thank
you. That's when you stop and go, where's the benefit in that? Where's the bad guy going to live?
Yeah. Well, and yeah.
When you're forgetting that your like bread and butter is like you have to be able to save six people somewhere and have people give a crap.
Right.
And, you know, the Transformers have been really bad about that for years now. They're always in this like epic doom. Everything's coming to an end. It's the end of all things. Literally, like, it feels like every single storyline. And it's like, man, I think what they really need to do and what War for Cybertron actually kind of managed to do for the most part, I mean, it had its big epic thing, but it was very contained within itself, is portray this as like World War II. We can have a million stories here, and they aren't necessarily always going to move the plot idea forward. They're not going to move the gimmick of our story forward. They're just going to move our characters forward. And that's just fine. I think people will show up for that pretty consistently.
Well, you
but
know,
to like, you know,
no, go ahead. No, I was saying with animated and Beast Wars, which we all pretty much agree is some of the best TV shows, episodic seems to work better in favor for Transformers than overall in the Armageddon. And it's like, you know, show, you know, tune in next time. Screw it. Are they done or what? Is Ryan going to fart and save the day or what?
Right. Well, I think that's like that farting episode is like one of the best episodes.
It's self-contained.
Fantastic. Yeah. Nothing, you know, no one is saved. Nothing happens. You know, nothing has changed. No one dies. It's just like we have these like robot characters who do this stuff and they're interesting in and of themselves. And within that, we can craft a story of an incident in their lives that was not, you know, a primary moment. It's that week when Rhinox almost farted us to death. But within that, if you think about that, part of what makes that is so great is, you know, half of that is just Rat Trap and Dinobot in a hole for 20 minutes, yelling at each other for the most part. And, like, it's a great episode. It's like, they have characters. You can just go watch them, and it's entertaining.
That's crazy talk. We have to have epic stories.
Yeah. Well, you know, Clouds of Doom next made episode, of posters don't need to be descending upon them.
Yeah. Next episode, Bulkhead will fart, but it's because of some wisdom of the ancients. And Ratchet's going to tell us why. This wisdom of the ancients has gas.
And it won't be CGI either. It'll be paintings and shit.
So. Which actually, I like that part. I'm like, oh, wow, that looks nice.
Yeah, but it's still, it's like you spend all this money on a CG show, and now you're telling stories with paintings.
It occurs to me, I don't know if any of us has mentioned this. Is it just me, or is having Unicron be the Earth incredibly stupid?
It sounds like a bad idea, doesn't it? Like
that's like one of those Decepticon ideas. Like you say it really, you say it, you think it, and you say it out loud, and then you're like,
like that should have been left. You know,
they said it wasn't. They said he wasn't. He's not the Earth. It's just that the Earth
formed around him. That's a BS like cop out answer.
It's like you're like, let's give the humans a really reason to care, because, you know, they could be like, all right, all you guys get off to Earth. And they get off to Earth, and we no longer bother. So it's like, okay, what if they have a reason to be really worried? Like, the bad guys inside Earth or something. Okay, yeah. All right. Give me, light up another bowl. Okay. Dude, Unicron.
It strikes me, too, that having Unicron be the Earth, or having been, you know, such a causal part of it, really removes a big theme from the Transformers in general, which is the responsibility the Autobots feel about having, you know, having this war on somebody else's planet.
Yeah.
So it seems to me it's like, actually, your entire planet was actually only there as a result of us and happens to be made of, you know, our evil god of darkness. So we really did have to come here. And if we didn't, you'd be screwed all by yourselves. And you wouldn't even be here if it weren't for us. So go to hell.
Yeah, you know it does kind of do that, doesn't it? Inadvertently.
Yeah, it's like the poor theme element.
I need them to do. And it'll wipe the slate clean. And it's something I've been wanting for a long time. I want next season, after Optimus burps and he starts being Optimus again or whatever saves him from being Orion Pax, I want him to stop and start being... You guys ready? I want him to be the Optimus that actually has a clue of what to do.
Hey,
that'd be a
great
idea.
Never had an Optimus who.
That'll be a great episode.
He's all
fools!
Bullies.
I told you not to feed him the spicy chili and energon.
It's just, it's like, okay, we've stopped in the history of this whole thing. Optimus, who's all knowing and wise, has never had a damn clue what's going on or what to do ever. You know, he's like, he's got the Matrix, which gives him the wisdom of all the primes. Apparently, also didn't know have a clue what to do at any given time either. This is time that Optimus is like, all right, I'm gonna shoot that asshole.
You know, Optimus can actually be an interesting character. Optimus Primal was actually an interesting character.
Yeah.
And, you know, even crappy G1 Optimus in the show, though he frequently could be a little too all-knowing, did do things like get angry, be prideful, you know, screw up and then respond. Or take, you know, and take responsibility. Or even do something contrary to his seeming nature. I mean, like, there's that Ultimate Doom episode where Megatron makes him press the button. I feel like every boring prime since wouldn't have been like, no, I will sacrifice Cybertron to save the Earth I have sworn to save. Prime was like, you dick.
Now I have to do it. Crap.
Sorry, Spike. It's my planet. If it eats your planet, I'm really sorry.
Well, if it's a choice between you squishy little things and my people, I got to go with my peeps. So, yes.
Yeah. You know that... That also has another one.
Spark plug. He's like, sorry, pal. Priorities.
Yeah.
This is where also they need to do something. Optimus goes, you know what, Jack? I do want to see something funny. Let's play basketball. Screw you guys.
Yeah, that would be great. Well, they already played basketball in this series, so.
Have they? Did I miss that?
Yeah. There was an episode where
I'm having fun in G1 sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Bulkhead and Bumblebee played
the basketball.
Oh, you're right.
Sitting there and yelling. Spike, compute quickly when the phone rings and, like, whips the basketball at him, knocks him across the room.
You know?
That would be awesome. Yes! Or squishes him, because it's huge, you know. And it's
it's like broke three of his ribs.
Yeah.
I did laugh out loud, really loud, when Jack did the whole, do you want to see something funny? No.
Yeah.
That was great. It's like, whoa.
See, I was like, if they hadn't been like, primes don't laugh and don't get angry and don't, it was like, so they're completely boring.
Yeah.
What you said after that.
What you
nice
said is
like,
not interesting.
Sorry, don't take it personal. Well, no, actually, he really doesn't like you guys.
Leave it hanging.
No.
Because that would have gone on a whole with the whole Armada Prime saying simply, with the kids, we want to help Optimus. Well, you can help from over here, okay?
Yeah. Why don't you squishy things stay over there where you're not going to die?
Get over
so anyway,
there.
All right. Well, I guess I'll ring in this. This is our topic, by the way, apparently, as time would flow.
Farts.
No, that's good, though. I think, well, I mean, in a sense, what we're talking about is the flow of the continuity and the way they're trying to keep
all that
together.
As opposed to humans getting stepped on.
Yeah.
Which prime decisions keep coming back to because we want to see
next episode.
They want to see the version of that scene in the first one where Ratchet's like, they'll be underfoot here. They're like, well, we'll keep it away. And he'll be like, tell it to this guy. And like showing the bottom of his foot with some poo squished on it.
Ew.
I can't get it off.
So I guess we'll head towards the end here. There is a trailer for season 2 out. I have not seen it. I didn't watch it yet. I'm sorry. Is it any good?
It's in that link.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to watch it.
Just, it's the insignia getting burned in a prime zone.
Is that it? Okay, great.
That's it.
Congratulations.
Woo! It's like, oh,
next season on Transformers Prime, you will be amazed.
Like this minor predictable point that happens after what you saw in the last episode.
So, I'm really afraid it's like
that. It was like, it would blow your mind when all he did was like,
maybe
I took the entire first half, you know, part one, fighting you the whole time. Now I'm just going to rip my chest open. It'll be the. It's good.
I did quite like at the end of that episode how Megatron seemed to like have some genuine emotion about Prime being, if having forgotten all of their problems, and being his old buddy again. It was totally like, we're getting the band back together.
We're going to take Detroit. It's going to be amazing.
All this shit that I've done wrong. Yay. I'll never tell
you. So you don't remember that I owe you $375 on the rent.
I mean, crap.
And that phone bill from 1973. All gone.
So, speaking of history, real quick I'll mention just one item from the many that we've picked out. 2005 Infiltration Issue Zero was published in the U.S., kicking off IDW Publishing's brand new Generation 1 universe, which was thankfully in no relation to the Dreamwave. Yeah, thankfully. Wow. Anyway, that's the thing that happened.
It's also boring as toast.
Yeah.
Yeah, but same time, we don't have instance like the Micro Masters miniseries where it's like, No, I just read all four issues back to back, and I still have no clue. Like, did I fall into a time hole or something during this time? Woke up and go, okay, I completely forgot. Let me read it again. Nope. No memory of what just happened.
Micro Masters, and we don't get like issue 11 from the ongoing, which like, seems like it's actually going to be going somewhere.
So, Rob,
God damn it.
Twitter
but
theater.
I'm not bitter.
Did we have a Twitter theater?
We did. I posted it this morning.
Sweet.
And I didn't put it on tfvideo.net, guys. Turns out when you're under medication, basic WYSIWYG HTML is really hard. so there's no video. I posted it on Twitter. This week was episode 2 of Master Force, following my whole super Halloween theme here. I'm sure all of us here have seen the second episode of Master Force. Who hasn't? Okay.
I think I probably have and don't recall.
Basically, as you know, the first episodes of Master Force lean around the Decepticon pretenders being ancient monsters, and they've come back and they're terrorizing, yada yada. It's Power Rangers, and the episode starts off with the Decepticons invading a morgue, stealing the bodies of the dead people out, and making a Decepticon zombie army to raise hell.
Yeah, I remember that now. Sweet.
Yeah, and they all have matching jumpsuits, which is the part that blows my mind. They take the time to say, hey, we're going to make Decepticon zombies. Okay. And they have jumpsuits. All right.
Yeah. I just see, like, the giant Decepticon sitting there, like, sewing all of those.
Yeah. They gave that to one of the Seacon clones, you know.
That's who I was thinking. I was thinking of a Seacon sitting there. Why is it taking so long?
God,
like, try to do this.
We have big fingers, and these are small needles.
And they're very non-functional.
I don't really know
jumps.
How well this plan was thought out, my lord.
They're like little shorty shorts and t-shirts with Decepticon symbols. They're like, all right, let's make our now purple Decepticon zombies, and they're terrifying. This is a spooky plot. Give them little green shorty short jumpsuits.
Yay!
what do we do?
That's a comic thing. We skipped the zombies are coming back. Did we get that?
Hey, but see, that's like retro, you know, because that's like classic. Yay!
Zombies. Well, remember, G1 is amazing.
Yeah, well, anything G1, especially Japanese G1, because that was,
It is the pinnacle of Transformers. The Sioux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, awesome. Well, we're going to end it there, kids, because, you know, I don't want to run ridiculously long. We could talk about Beast Machines, but whatever. You know,
we liked it, but not when it happened.
Right. That's basically the long and short of it there.
I liked the second season when it happened.
Yeah, that was good.
Yep.
You know, when Prime, yeah, once they fixed some of the minor things.
It was an important moment in fandom, if only because it was like, wait a minute, when we bitch, they can hear us now?
That's crazy. They can fix things?
I fully
Unfortunately, we could also hear each other.
Yeah, well,
I fully admit to that. Basically being like, Beast Machines was what 3H wrote and the toys I liked, and then later on, okay, the show's not so bad now that I'm not watching on a screen the size of my watch on my computer because it's already aired in Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, those Real Player videos, you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I still have
this show used to be
stuck in my head like every day.
I am Transformers. Shut the hell up.
No, that's the beginning. I mean the tanks chasing them noise that would be repeated over and over again 75 times.
I remember.
Over like 75,000 times over and over.
I remember really liking.
Of course, to go to Great America during Fright Fest.
I remember just really liking the Tankor toy. Just like, man, this toy is great, man. I hope more of them like this and see them on the show. And it's like, what the hell did they do to it?
Well, then they made, that's just, there was also like the second run of toys, which like, the first one was like, holy God, could you look anything the like, anything less crap. Like you do in the show? Well, I remember seeing the designs the first time and thinking, wow, how are you ever going to make those as toys? And then getting to the toy store and going, oh, I see. You're not.
They're just not going to try. That first Tankor was just like, what?
Well, especially because it was like, okay, dude, the thing has like four moving parts. I could see them all on screen. I could carve one of those out of wood.
What got me is it's like, okay, let me get straight. That guy's a unicycle with arms, and he's a threat to the monkey that shoots fireballs.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. I was like, there's an army.
I've done a really good job of not talking about Beast Machines like I said I was going to.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk about that more next time.
That's what they said last week.
I know. We said that last week. Why is it, you know, we like talk. We had a good conversation about Prime, and that was fine. So, anyway, tune in next week. Brian will hopefully be back, and other people as well, maybe Amy. But Rob, it was great to have you, sir.
Yeah, it was great to be back, even though the circumstances were kind of bad.
Yeah, it's not the best of circumstances, but it was great to have you nonetheless. I'm glad that you could come on. And I
was
be
really
here.
Worried if I couldn't because I'm like, man, I have been saying all sorts of crazy crap. Should I even bother?
Yeah. That's why we love having you on. So anyway.
It turns into ramen noodles.
So sweet. So, all right. Well, for John, for Peter, for Ender, for Rob, this has been JD, Radio Free Cybertron. Thanks much, and we'll see you next week.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.